Federal Reserve research shows the coronavirus is making it easier for robots and software to take jobs permanently, but in a few minutes we'll also hear about a new tool to give human workers an upper hand. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. Bayer has reached a deal to resolve future legal claims involving the weed killer Roundup. Bayer, if you want to get continental, has been fighting a series of lawsuits by Roundup users who claim it causes cancer. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us with details.
David, this settlement is designed to resolve future Roundup cases. Bayer would pay up to $2 billion to cover future claims from people who say Roundup caused their cancer. And these plaintiffs would get up to $200,000 each, depending on factors like their age and health. People could also opt out and sue Bayer on their own. A U.S. District Court judge in San Francisco still has to approve the settlement.
And Bayer is still facing lawsuits over Roundup.
Right. Bayer agreed to another deal last June worth more than $9 billion to settle most of the U.S. lawsuits filed over Roundup. It's still finishing settlements for the unresolved lawsuits. And of course, Bayer inherited these lawsuits when it bought the agricultural chemical maker Monsanto about 3 years ago.
And Roundup stays on sale?
It will remain on the market, and Bayer still says there's no link between Roundup and cancer, but it has agreed to ask the EPA for permission to add a reference link to Roundup labels where consumers can find scientific studies on Roundup and cancer. The EPA would have to sign off on those labels.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. There's another settlement with authorities. The global firm McKinsey will pay $573 million in connection with the work it did to help Purdue Pharma sell more of its opioid painkiller OxyContin, linked to an epidemic of addiction when it was overmarketed and overprescribed. Marketplace.org, if you miss our coverage on the air. A new study is being launched in the UK to work out if it might work or even help if a second coronavirus shot is a different vaccine from the first. This test is of Pfizer and AstraZeneca vaccines. Oxford University professor Matthew Snape leads the research.
If somebody turns up to have their second vaccine and they've already received, say, the Pfizer vaccine, but that's not available that day, then can they receive the Oxford vaccine as an alternative? And vice versa, of course. And that would greatly improve flexibility of delivery.
He spoke to our colleagues at the BBC. Checking the markets here, the S&P future is up a tenth percent. The Dow future up 19 points, not quite a tenth percent. The NASDAQ future up 0.4%. I'm about to tell you something frightening about jobs in this pandemic recovery, and moments later we'll highlight a free online tool that helps fix the problem. The good and the bad news is actually from the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia, and its president is Patrick Harker. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David.
If we could just get people vaccinated, and then the presumption of so many is we can get people back to work again. But your research is showing what? That some companies may not need as many people in the end.
Right. So obviously the virus is driving where we are in the economy right now. But there were trends that were happening even before the virus hit. One of those changes is automation. Firms were automating, but in some cases they've accelerated that process because machines don't get viruses. And again, this is where our research that we're doing at the Philly Fed is really focused on what do we do about that? We shouldn't just accept that these people won't be able to find new work. We need to find creative ways to get them the skills they need for the future.
Well, some of this is what your team has developed, a website that's not like a job posting board or anything. It's actually something else.
Yeah. So this is based on a really simple question that people ask. What are the jobs that pay above median wages where you don't necessarily need a four-year college degree? And we've now developed what we call the Occupational Mobility Explorer. We looked at the skill set somebody has now and asked, with some training, is there a job that they could take that would give them an increase in salary? We've done that, and you can actually drill down by metro area to see not only what the increase in salary would be, but also what are the growth of those jobs? So are those jobs shrinking in the economy or are they growing in the economy? So say you're a bill collector. You may have the skills necessary to become a credit counselor. And that job would pay on average 45% more than the job you're currently in. So this is a tool not just for employees, but also for public officials, community colleges, job training programs, to really focus in on where are the jobs of the future that can move people into the middle class.
I assume you'd want to see wider policy measures put into place that would support someone who wants to get retrained in the right thing.
Oh, absolutely. For example, in my old life, I used to be president of the University of Delaware. We created a cybersecurity set of programs. You think of cybersecurity, oh, I need a PhD to do that. No, an associate's degree for many entry-level jobs in cybersecurity is more than sufficient to get you into that work. So while their automation is taking away jobs, there are other jobs that are always emerging in an economy where we need to start getting people into those career paths.
Patrick Harker, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia, affectionately known as the Philly Fed. Dr. Harker, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So the Philadelphia Fed's Occupational Mobility Explorer, he just talked about, for jobs that pay above the median wage, where you don't need a four-year college degree, also helps you pair the skills you have now with those jobs of the future. Marketplace.org has links to that. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.